this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's a winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Keeping the winning ways going. Getting an important 3 points in the group against Istanbul Başakşehir, sir, 4-1. How you feeling? How you doing?
I believe there's another Başakşehir in there. I don't think we've gotten the pronunciation right. That is no surprise here. But big win. The boys bounce back. Ole. Brave lineup. Amazing result. Manchester United of old, sir, beaten Başakşehir at home. I mean, like, big win. A big win. It's a must win, and they did it convincingly in the first half. It's what you like to see. Cavani playing number nine. We had Martial on the left, Rashford on the right. Donny van de Beek playing eight. I love it. Ole, finally some cojones here in the lineup, and a big win for Manchester United. I hope this gives him some confidence to play Donny some more.
Absolutely. I think he played really well with Fred. An important win, like you said, you know, secures our place in the group. Obviously, it adds momentum going into the weekend game. Braveness in the lineup, and the team basically, like, you know, was done and dusted the first half, let off the gas in the second half. You know, we should have put a lot more goals past this team. So the analogy that comes to my mind is still that Ferrari that, like, you know, our 16-year-old kid stole and is driving around the neighborhood in first gear and doesn't know how to get out of, because passes was scratchy at time. You know, we had breaks that should have turned into goals that we often made the wrong decision and still scored four goals. Obviously, it's not a great team, but I just feel like we're just hitting, you know, our potential, and now it's about consistency and really just breaking through to the next level, which I know this team is capable of.
No, I think you're right. It's putting it all together for 90 minutes. Now, I think we could have put it together for 90 minutes if Bruno Fernandes stayed on the pitch. And I think, yeah, Manchester United with and without Bruno, almost two different sides. And I do think the sub could have been a little different. I like bringing in Matic earlier and pushing Donny into Bruno's position if you're going to take Bruno off. I think that was the sub because, you know, I think Matic could shore things up and get Donny going forward. I think that would have been more effective. Ole decided to do it a different way. Obviously, we have five subs to work with. But I think either way, big win. I think I predicted 4-0, 4-1, sir. I was pretty close. We blew them out at home. And it's time to kick on to Southampton. You know, the West Brom win, no one's going to remember that one, how we kind of eked by. But convincingly getting a Champions League win at home is important. Like you said, we got to draw PSG or RB Leipzig, sir. The group is still tight, unfortunately, because we lost Istanbul away.
It is. So the PSG game next week is going to be a big one. They're all big games, which is the fun bit. I mean, you look at the schedule between now and the new year. Every game is important, whether it's a West Ham or a City. And it starts with the Saints down on the South Coast, sir, on the weekend. And it's a huge game because, you know, our track record, we'll go into it in a little bit, is not great in the league against the Saints. And also, they're playing very well at the moment. I think they're in the top six, and they look good. Like, it's not just like they're in the top six because they kind of, you know, fudge their way there. They're actually playing some pretty decent football. So they should not be underestimated.
No, I mean, I think they're coming in with more momentum than we are in the league, at least. And it's time for Ole to play a brave lineup. You know, we've been asking for that. I think this team that played Istanbul does a better job against West Brom. And I hope Ole, you know, sees something here and decides to play Cavani up top, puts Van de Beek and Fred together again with Bruno. I like that. This is Manchester United. Attack, attack, attack. You know, playing the 4-2-3. You know, the 4-2-3-1 and just putting Matic and Fred in the middle of the park and kind of sitting back. It's not really working. We got to kind of take it to a team, and that's what we should be doing in the league because we're kind of starting on the back foot.
Yeah, and I love that combo of the two. Obviously, playing behind Bruno Fernandes, you have the work rate of Fred, right, and how good he is breaking up play, and then you have the creativity and IQ of Donny, who's really good at stitching things up between the middle of the park and the front of the park. So I love the two working together. I don't think it would always work, right? Because if you played a really good team that you needed a little bit higher defensive work rate, maybe you'd sub in for McTominay, who's maybe a little bit better defensively than Donnie, but he looked pretty good. Like, he looks like an all-around ball player. I mean, he is a great signing, sir. The more I see Donnie play, the more excited I am about him long-term.
And he put in a great tackle. And I think where he's really good is, you know, just playing out the back. Donnie was great playing out the back. Fred, he gave away the ball in our own half. That led to some Istanbul pressure. I mean, that's the one thing Fred's got to work on. There's no shame in putting the ball over the top and letting Rashford run for it. You know, I'd much rather have him lose the ball there than lose it in our own half. And I think Donnie was able to kind of release the pressure back there. And he put in some good tackles. So, you know, who knows, sir? I think it's early in the season, and it's time to kick on from here. Quick PSA for the podcast. You can support us on Patreon. You can visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We have a few different tiers, anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We give away pins, stickers, shirts, and scarves. Find a tier that works for you. And shout out to our latest Patreon supporter, Patrick Burke. He is in the Sir Alex Ferguson tier. So absolute legend. Patrick, thank you so much for supporting the podcast and keeping fan content independent, sir. The American Red Devils, we are for fans by fans. We don't have any commercials or sponsorships on the podcast. We want to be supported directly by you, the fans. If you're not a fan of Patreon, you can grab some merch in our online store, www.americaredevils.com. Click on store. We have an amazing blog. So you're the editor-in-chief. Tell everyone how it's going there, americaredevils.com.
I mean, the American Red Devils blog is absolutely ripping, thanks to its for fans by fans contributors, like actually Patrick Burke, who just became a contributor today. So we welcome him not only as a Patreon member, not only as a veteran in the United States, but also as a new contributor for the American Red Devils. So we appreciate that. You can join up. Send us an email, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. Let us know what you're interested in, and we'll take it from there, sir. A lot to cover. United Universe is deep, sir. There's a lot going on these days.
No, absolutely, and that's what the podcast is for. We want to showcase fan perspectives, the biased perspective on the couch. We don't need Ed Woodward or Neil Ashton telling us what to say. We want to create the platform for you guys, the fans, so we can share it together. And www.AmericanRedDevils.com, we have some great fan contributor content. If you want to support the podcast, you can't part with some cold, hard-earned cash. Drop a review on iTunes, 5 stars, some cheeky banner. That is how everyone finds us these days. We're also doing sticker giveaway. If you drop a review, screenshot it, email it to us, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We will ship you a new sticker, sir. We have the new badge logo designed by Stanley Chow. We will be shipping those out. So drop a review on iTunes. Get yourself a sticker. It goes a long way to support the podcast. Only takes a minute, sir. Only takes a minute.
Only takes a minute, and it's free. And you know what? For us, it's priceless. So if you can do it, it goes a long way. Like John said, if you can't part with cash, it's free. And for us, it's a huge boost. So we appreciate all our fans around the world listening in, listening out. And now, sir, we got football. We got down to business because we got a lot of games coming up.
Absolutely. Let's jump into this match recap.
Sir, is Manchester United 4, Istanbul Başakşehir 1. It was obviously at Old Trafford. It was the Champions League group stage week 4, sir. That lineup, let's talk about it. We're talking about Dave Saves and Net. Hendo did not make the squad, starting 11. It was a back 4 of AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, and Telles. It was a midfield, like you mentioned, of Donny van de Beek and Fred and Bruno Fernandes, and a front 3 of Tony Martial, came from France, Marcus Rashford, and then Edison, number 7, Cavani. How you feeling about that lineup, sir?
Absolutely love the lineup. I mean, like I said, the one word that comes to mind, cojones. You know, I can see Simeone on the sideline with the like, this is that lineup, sir. Remember, you're Manchester United. You got to go all in. You got to show your intent. You got to remind people that we're the world number one. And this is a lineup that shows me that. It says, hey, we're coming for you. Donny van de Beek playing at 8 in the midfield, too, with Fred. I love it. Fred, obviously, is going to shade defensively. Van de Beek going to open things up with Bruno Fernandes. And then Cavani coming in, number 7 at 9. And I love playing Rashford on the right. And he played well, got the penalty, led to a goal. I mean, we're starting to see some balance here and some world beaters. And then getting Donny in the side. I love this lineup. I want to see more of it against Southampton. And, hey, Sir Alex would win 3-2. He let in a few goals, score more. That's kind of what I want to see from United. Take some risk, Ole. take some risk. And this lineup was that.
We're still tinkering with that Ferrari, right? So we're going to get some, you know, some parking tickets and some speeding tickets on the way, sir. It's part of the journey, and we're still flushing things out. Let's jump into that game. United came out, like you said, with intent in the first half, and it didn't take long until we had a chance, which were coming quickly, for Marcus Rashford after a nice flick from who else? Bruno Fernandes. Marcus ends up getting the shot blocked. Should have done better, but an early chance from United showing their intent.
No, absolutely great stuff from United from the jump. Rashford burned the Istanbul defenders pretty bad. Send him back to Turkey. I thought this should have been a goal, but again, looked great from the jump.
It should have been a goal, but if Bruno Fernandes had anything to say about it in the seventh minute, he made sure it was a goal. I wish we could find Telemundo, but we couldn't, sir. It's going to have to be in English.
Natural target. Van der Beek's in there too. Martial right on the goalkeeper's toes. It was Nitto and thrashed back by Bruno Fernandes. Wow! Pick that out! There is no ball that has ever been struck with such sensational purity as that.
Bruno, Bruno, Bruno! Here's the post of Cristiano! He goes up, he goes up! Here's the best of the shot!
Whoo, sir, Bruno Fernandes. You know, I knew he had that in his locker. I just haven't seen it in a while. Everyone's talking about this guy being apparently a penalty merchant. Take that.
Absolute laser from Bruno Fernandes. Absolute class. I mean, wish you could clone him. Wish we could have a few more of them on the pitch. You know, it gets better and better. Bruno stock. Bye, bye, bye all day, sir. I can't say better things about Bruno Fernandes. Without him, where would we be? Where would we be?
I mean, Ole would have gotten sacked most likely, which is very unfortunate. But Bruno Fernandes, we've talked about it a lot. You can use all the analogies you want. Probably the best, definitely the best signing we've made since RVP. Best signing since Fergie's left, without a doubt. And he just keeps getting better and better. You said we want to clone him. I don't know if you can clone Bruno Fernandes, sir. He's so unique. But After that goal, United was starting, you know, I hate to say that word, they were starting to purr a little bit. In 12th minute, Rashford actually scored a great goal.
Hold on, don't say that.
I have to. They were purring for like 20 minutes. We looked like top-notch football, sir.
Sir, Arlo White-isms are not allowed.
Fair enough.
Football teams don't purr. I'll tell you that.
Ferraris do. Anyway, so we scored that goal. It was offsides for Rashford. It was a nice little move between Cavani, Bruno, and Rashford. I like that link up. And then in the 14th minute, Bruno taking another pop. Goes just wide. The keeper almost got fingertips on it, but he didn't really need to because it went just wide. And then, sir, in the 19th minute.
Martial. Tellez. Beyond Cavani. Goalkeeper's lost it. Fernandes scores with simplicity. It's a deeply dispiriting moment for poor Mert Günok.
Well, sir, you know, the first one was super pretty. The second one was, you know, a tap-in, but we'll take it.
Where's my Bruno chant?
You know, the Goloso is the Bruno chant, you know.
I disagree. The Portuguese Magnifico, look, it's just business. 2-0, Bruno gets a brace in 20 minutes. That's what Manchester United should be doing against Istanbul. We need more of this from United. We need more confidence. Like you said, we just need to drive forward.
Absolutely right, sir. Bruno is that heartbeat of our team. And then a little bit of a let off. And then in the 35th minute, Rashford down the wing.
Here's Marcus Rashford, and he is onside, and he's bearing down on goal. And he got a nudge from Bolingoli, and Manchester United have a penalty.
So Lindelof was very clever in just playing it over the top. Now, there's a debate as to whether VAR will have a look at this and deem it offside or not, but he just delayed it, waiting for the contact from Bolingoli, who obliged, and he didn't need to. He didn't need to go there. And because it's not an aside and it's into his back, he was always likely to get...
VAR, by the way, is Portuguese, João Pinheiro. And he was onside, and it is a penalty. Marcus Rashford, without error, without nerve, Manchester United, without doubt, on the way to Old Trafford Champions League triumph.
Sir, how much more can you say about Bruno Fernandes? You know, he's on a hat trick, has a chance to take his penalty, make sure Marcus gets his goal. What do you make of that?
Sir, you know, as fans on the couch, we're already always reading in the tea leaves. You know, we can tell you, hey, Pogba, those comments with the France team. And then you see what happens here. Rashford gave away the hat trick before. I think he let Martial take the spot kick earlier in the Champions League. And then Bruno giving it away here shows the character of these guys. Maybe there's a reason why Paul Pogba's not in the lineup. You got to be part of the team. You got to be unselfish, sir.
They are playing like a team, and it's going to be hard for him to get into this team because if you look at what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is looking for, it's nonstop work rate, you know, from whether it's Cavani or his defenders. So he's going to expect Paul Pogba to run nonstop. Anyway, after that penalty, it was actually a free kick for Istanbul that had the better chance. Ba got his head on it, probably should have scored, to be honest, almost had a free header. And then that tackle that you mentioned starting the 40th minute, it was a great tackle from Donny at the edge of the box just to clear it off after a little bit of a dangerous moment for United, but just showing his versatility, just going forward as well as defending.
No, absolutely. I watched all the YouTube highlight reels with all the techno music when we signed Donny van de Beek. He's got a tackle in him. Wasn't surprised to see this. Love it from Donny.
It was great to see. And then the 43rd minute, great ball from Rashford finds Bruno, but unfortunately the keeper came out well to stop him. And then in the 45th minute, another great chance for United on the break with numbers, but Rashford unfortunately picked up the wrong pass. So that basically ended the half. It was 3-0. Well,
the 45th minute opportunity.
It was a big chance. Big chance.
Bruno's to his right. And he doesn't give it to Bruno. He's looking for Cavani because it's 3-0. If it was 0-0, I think that ball goes to Bruno. I think there was some calculation from Rashford. They're up 3-0, and he tried to stretch it. But that was poor. That was poor.
I think the pass was to Bruno either way, you know, because there's no defender in front of Bruno. That was, that's what the space was, even if you cut back. But that being said, that was a good chance. There were a lot of good chances.
Bruno probably would have found Cavani, right? That's the thing.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. But we needed that goal.
Going into, you know, halftime, sir. You're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. What are you saying to the boys?
Look, this is what I've been talking about. We saw it from Project Restart, when you got a ton of games back to back to back, you need to get the all-stars on. They need to finish teams off early. You need to get them off. I think you need to sub players. We have known injuries in the squad. We did see the sub. Twan Zabe comes on for Lindelof, who's had ongoing back issues. I think you got to rest Bruno. I think the order of operations Ole ultimately got wrong, and that caused that lull. But I would like to have seen Bruno probably come off at halftime, McTominay or Matic come on for Bruno, have them drop in, then give Donny a show at 10 in the second half. Why not?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I would have liked to see Bruno come off at halftime and have Donny push up the 10. Ultimately, that's not what Ole ended up doing.
We looked better when Donny was at 10.
We did.
You know, things were going wrong, and then Donny moved to 10. He brought on Matic, and, you know, it was over.
No, it's true. It's once Matic came in for Martial, and Donny pushed up, we started getting effective in the last 10 minutes. Obviously scored the goal. We'll get into it in the second half. Twan Zabe came in for Lindelof. I don't know if it was an injury or Lindelof just needs a rest. I know he was working on a back injury, but hopefully he's okay, sir, because he's been playing well with Maguire. They're looking like a very solid center-back pairing.
We're not talking about the defense a lot. That's good news.
Exactly right. Jumping in the second half, Bruno in the 49th minute fed Cavani with a great ball. Bruno all over the pitch as usual. Probably should have shot first time or passed back, so Cavani should have done better there. And then 50th minute, Dave saves. Huge low save from the Spaniard. You know, just making sure that United has woken up because, you know, they had a couple moments. We certainly turned off a little bit at the beginning of the second half.
No, absolutely. And it was in the 59th minute, the triple sub, Greenwood, James, and Williams for Rashford, Bruno, and AWB. We were already kind of in a lull, 3-0. You know, we need that intensity. You can't let it go. Istanbul, they can make a comeback here. And you thought these three subs would give us the energy, and they actually kind of went the other way.
Yeah, I did. I think we rested on our laurels a bit. In the 62nd minute, Maguire had a really good free header, but he blasted it over from a corner. And then, whew, things got a little bit interesting in the 75th minute, sir.
It's Turic who hits it. De Gea gathered it from behind the line. And Istanbul, Başakşehir benefits from a good vibration.
Sir, there you go. Goal line technology calls it in from a free kick. Game on.
It's Başakşehir here.
Sorry.
Başakşehir here.
Call me corrected. I'll make sure to get it right next time.
Başakşehir here. It's I knew we didn't have it right, but
definitely.
This is our last game against Başakşehir here, so I think we're good. good kick. De Gea could have been better to it. He's been flawless. He had that good save earlier. I don't blame him. You know, they get a good free kick. The boys need to wake up here, but they didn't, right? That was the problem. 80th minute, they hit the post, and it wasn't until 82nd minute when Matic came on for Martial, things shored up. I think that was always the move. For some reason, Ole kept Donny in the two. I don't know why he did that, but you know, we definitely needed this change with Matic.
No, I agree. I mean, I like his subs today in general. This one probably could have been done like 10 minutes earlier. Probably would have avoided that goal in the first place to have Matic in. Maybe he didn't want to use him. He's saving him for the weekend. But yeah, I agree. A little bit slow. As soon as Matic came in for Martial, much more assured. Far fewer chances for Istanbul going forward. And then, sir, in the 92nd minute, get the Welshman a goal.
Cavani. Van der Beek, now here goes Greenwood. He's got James inside of him. It's Greenwood. It's Daniel James. It's 4-1 Manchester United, home and dry.
Sir, a very nice goal for Dan James, but a nice team goal as well. It was good link up, and this is not the first team at this point. So starting to, you know, develop an identity that looks like Ole Ball.
Ole Ball. It's Van der Beek Ball. That pass from Donny van de Beek. I mean, Cavani kind of puts him. It was a tough position, and he was able to spray that pass. The decision-making there, he just rewatched this play. Donny van de Beek, he's doing things like that, opening teams up in that position. Unbelievable. And that's him at number 10. So I think we need to try the like-for-like switch out Donny and Bruno. I think that's got to be a thing. We have tons of fixtures. Say West Ham, Donny's going to start as number 10. But he's pulling that out of his locker, sir. As Bruno-esque. That pass is unbelievable.
Sorry, he's a player. I mean, you watch this game today, and this is the most exciting game to watch, Donny van de Beek. This was not a great opponent, but you saw him all over the pitch going forward, the defensive work, and then actually getting to play the 10 at the last bit. He's a great player. He's only going to get better, and he's a totally a United player. Like, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve, technically gifted, high work rate. What's not to like?
No, it's just the things he does on the ball. You know, it's like, I'll tell you what, when Fred gets the ball in the same position, it's kind of like that the blooper music starts playing. You know, you're like, you're worried about the touch, you're worried about the pass, the decision-making. Donny, it's just silky smooth. I'm never worried with Donny on the ball, tight positions, picking a pass. Like, he's so calm, makes it look so easy all around the pitch, sir. I mean, I can't say better things about Donny van de Beek. And obviously, Bruno Fernandes had a hell of a game, but Donny's right up there for me. I mean, just the potential of the player is what gets me so excited.
I'm with you, and I think the potential of that midfield as well. I see we'll finish up the game. 94th minute, United had a break. Greenwood had a good chance. You know, and that was basically it. All she wrote, 4-1, but just closing out the van de Beek. I agree, sir. He could play all over. He might be taking Paul Pogba's spot, you know, in the second player in the midfield. It doesn't look like he's going to be taking that position away from him anytime soon. 10 is obviously done and dusted with Bruno. Best number 10 in the league. And then, but like Fred, Donny van de Beek, that looks like a midfield sitting behind him that would work well against a lot of opposition in the league.
I like to see him with McTominay too. I mean, I want to see rotation. You know, you can't just win with the same 11 in every competition. We're going to need to mix it up, and you're going to find chemistry. You're going to find players able to do a job. And I think that's part of it. Hey, Pogba, Ole gave Pogba a bunch of runouts. Are you going to play defense? Are you going to get back? Nope. He'll play him at number 10. Like, you know, he's played him more forward. He played him on the right part of the game this year. I mean, Ole's trying. He's tinkering. He's looking for things. And I think Donny in the midfield, too, justified. It's only Istanbul. Baka kaka share. Baka kaka share.
Right. And this Southampton team we're going to play on the weekend is better than Istanbul. But that being said, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for minutes. There's a lot of games coming up. And unfortunately, there are going to be injuries eventually. So he will get chances, but it looks like he is nosing his way up the pecking order, my man, because he looks a player, a top player, and he's only 23 years old.
No, bye.
Bye. So hopping into that match reaction, United had 52% of the possession compared to Istanbul Başakşehir 48%. United had 16 shots to their 13 shots. We had 8 on target versus their 4. And we had 13 fouls versus their 12, sir. Hopping into it, Manchester United have won their past 7 home games in Europe by an aggregate score of 24-2. Not bad, sir. Some of that was in Europa League.
Yeah, some of them in Europa League.
And 4 of the English side's 12 Champions League goals this season have been scored by substitutes more than any other team. And James became the first Welshman to score in the Champions League for United since Ryan Giggs against Benfica in September 2011.
I think that's when Ryan Giggs was banging his brother's wife around that time, right?
It was a long window of wife banging. We'll prefer not to talk about it. It's an opaque window. Okay, next bit of stats. Only Ruud van Nistelrooy with 25 games, Robin van Persie, 26, Zlatan Ibrahimovic with 33, have scored 20 goals faster than Bruno Fernandes in 35 games for Manchester United in this century. There you go. There's a stat. And no player has scored more goals for a Premier League team than Bruno Fernandes since his debut in February. 20 goals in 35 games in all competitions, which is insane. Insane.
Right. You know, I had a heated debate on the text thread today with the Chelsea fan who's arguing that Bruno Fernandes, his penalties doesn't count because he's defending Werner after that horrid performance he had. He's trying to say penalties don't count.
I mean, he's a Chelsea fan. He's a numpty. It's like, what do you?
It's like, it's like everyone's jealous of Bruno Fernandes. It's like I said, how do you determine the golden boot? Do penalties count? I think they do. Like I said, Bruno Fernandes. No players have scored more goals than Bruno Fernandes since his debut. That says a lot. Our talisman, our Portuguese Magnifico.
He's a player. Speaking of players, Marcus Rashford is one as well. He's the youngest player at 23 years, 24 days old, to score 15 goals in European competitions for United. The record was previously held by a good friend of mine, I wish, Wayne Rooney, 23-year-old, 47 days. Waza, sir. Marcus, he's on his way, sir. He certainly is.
I'd like to have a few dark ales with Wayne Rooney, I'll tell you.
Absolute shit show, I'm sure. Anyway, what do we know? Let's hear what the manager had to say. He's all smiles ear to ear. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Well, United played with a real swagger and a bit of a strut for an hour there tonight. It was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I felt first half, you know, you saw the intent straight away. The boys wanted to play. They enjoyed it. It's a Champions League night at home at Old Trafford. You expect them to enjoy themselves. And we created some great chances, some very nice goals, and I was very pleased.
The impact of Cavani and Van de Beek was notable, and Cavani, obvious focal point, and Van de Beek looking for the forward pass.
Yeah, I think the two of them, they're getting used to how we want them to play. Of course, Donny can play in different positions. Edinson is a good old-fashioned number 9, and we haven't had that for a little while, so and I was very happy with how Anthony played off the left-hand side again.
And in that first hour, Bruno delivers again, a fantastic strike, a second goal. And what was the story with the penalty? You said he just handed it to Marcus Rashford. Do you allow this, or do you designate the penalty?
Of course, Marcus is a very good penalty taker as well. Bruno is very confident. So if Bruno feels he wants to give it to Marcus, so be it. But well, Anthony had a one against Leipzig, so why not? They can share them around.
Did you lose a bit of that intensity in the closing minutes, just a few little frights there?
I think, you know, when you are 3-0 up and you take the foot off the pedal a little bit, you give them something to play for. They enjoyed second half, I think, more than the first half. But 4-1 win in the Champions League, you're happy with.
There you go, sir. Ole looks happy. He seems happy. What do you make of his words?
I like how it's pretty much Bruno's team and he decides who takes penalties. That's what I got from that. Unbelievable. Bruno Fernandes is a boss. He deserves the right to decide who takes the penalties, sir. Maybe I'll pick you.
Sir Harry might be the captain, but it's Bruno's team. I'll tell you that. And whatever is happening at the moment, it's working. So hopefully they can kick on because, as usual, there's a next match. There's always a next match. And it's against Southampton versus Manchester United, St. Mary's Stadium, South Coast, mate, all the way down there, the very, very bottom, basically. Sunday, November 29th, 6 a.m., post-Turkey Day. You ready for this?
Absolutely, sir. We've made a few trips down the South Coast to watch matches. I'll tell you, in the winter, it gets cold in the South Coast. It's cold. It's wet. It's rainy. You know, these games are hard. You know, the Bournemouths, the Brightons, the Southamptons, you know, it's not easy. Everything tells me it's going to be a nervy game. They're in form, sir. We're going into their house. It's also cold in the north, too, but it's just wet in the south.
It's wet in the south. They got the wind in the south, which cannot be underestimated. But let's talk about that form, because that's what's worrying me the most at the moment. All time, we've won 65, we've drawn 34, we've lost 28, so we've had their number. And the first match was all the way back. 1-1 draw in the FA Cup in February 1897 when we were still Newton Heath. Speaking of fine form, they come into it, the Saints, in fine form, like we talked about, winning three of the last five matches, and their draws were against Everton and Chelsea. Sitting at fifth place at the moment with 17 points, United at 10th with 13 points. So a win would do a big way in us, you know, nosing our way up the table. United, this is a staggering statistic, sir. I didn't know. Have only won one of their last five matchups with Southampton in the league. We have had four draws. Four draws in the last five games. That's something.
Look, this is going to be very important. It's almost another must win. And I think at this point, every game in the league is a must win. The Champions League is at least a must draw. Clearly, Ole's got to be able to kick up the table while qualifying the Champions League. I think that is the expectation. So right now, I think where we need to be is above where we are in 10th. And the only way to get there is clipping 3 points at a time. And this is going to be a tough game. And I want the players – look, we could draw this game. I don't want to lose it, but we can't play like we did at part of the second half against against Istanbul, and we can't play like we did against West Brom. We got to show up. We got to take the game to them. We have to attack. We have to be physical. We have to want it more than Southampton. We basically got to go down there and steal those 3 points. The mentality of the team is what I'm looking for here. This is a big game early in the season. And, you know, could you imagine a loss here? They take your wind out of your sails and you're saying, okay, well, we're celebrating beating West Brom. We're celebrating beating Istanbul. We're getting beat by Southampton. You know, the papers would have a day.
They would. They often have a day whenever United loses. But this is a big game. I'm not going to discount that. They are a team that's in form. And I think what you said is true. So we have to go down there with the intent to win. We have to go down there and take it to them. We can't do this thing and sit back because they're going to press the shit out of us. That's what they do. That's why they've been playing well. And they're really good at the counter. So we have to just be able to play between the lines, you know, and not lose our head. Make sure the passing isn't scratchy and then just cut them open when we get a chance, because they got a big defense, but they don't have a quick for defense. That Vestergaard, that massive head. I think he's the biggest player in the league, sir, their center back.
Sir, what percentage of Neanderthal DNA you think he's got?
At least 50.
He's Nordic. He's old Viking, bro. Like old
Viking. Viking.
Yeah, no. I've talked about him for years on the pod that we should have signed him. You know, him and Harry Maguire. How could you go wrong? A little information about Southampton. The club is nicknamed the Saints since its inception in 1885 due to its history as a church football team founded as St. Mary's Church of England Young Men's Association. Sorry, yep, that's the YMCA. Just kidding. They play in red and white shirts. A little history about 1885, taking us back. Adventures of Huckleberry Finn was published by Mark Twain in the United States. The Washington Monument was dedicated. The U.S. Salvation Army was officially organized. And the Statue of Liberty arrives in New York City aboard a French ship, sir. That is way, way back, I'll tell you. Their home ground has, since 2001, has been St. Mary's Stadium, prior to which they were based at the Dell. Southampton have a longstanding rivalry with Portsmouth, due in part to geographic proximity in both cities, respective maritime histories on the South Coast. Matches between the two clubs are known as a South Coast Derby. Love that, South Coast Derby, sir. By the way, fish and chips are absolutely fire on the South Coast for good reason.
For good reason. You know, they got to stay warm. It's cold on the South Coast, and everybody loves fish and chips, sir.
Can't wait till we're back. Can't wait till we're back. It's like you go to the South Coast, it's like dark, it's raining, you get into like a nice warm pub, you have a few dark ales, grab fish and chips, head to a game. I mean, it's unbelievable stuff. I can't wait till we're back.
Can't wait till we're back. Oh, sir, physio room. Speaking of players coming back, a lot of familiar names. We've got Phil Jones. He's still nursing a knee injury. Luke Shaw, he has that hamstring issue. It's still looking like mid-December as his return date. Paul Pogba, it's listed as ankle foot injury. Quote says his ankle was swollen up, trained yesterday, but he didn't feel right. So maybe he can make it on the weekend. Bai was back in training. I saw that yesterday, but he's still listed, says Bai unavailable for 3 to 4 weeks, so likely end of the month. And then Jesse Lingard still listed. I think he was exposed to COVID, so he's been self-isolating. And that's basically the injury list, sir, for this weekend's game.
Jesse Lingard exposed to COVID? No way.
Who would have thought?
Paul Pogba ankle injury? Is he playing some basketball? No way. I mean, it's just like surprise, surprise, son. It's like, come on, man. We need Lingard. We need Pogba. We need these players. You know, we're shooting ourselves in the foot here. Playing three games for France. What do you? I mean, come on. Like, how much money is he getting paid at Manchester United? We need these players.
Enough to be happy.
He's getting. Lingard could do a job.
He's injured. You know? I mean, he's injured, but he wouldn't. I hear you. Lingard could run around. He's got a high work rate. Pogba.
A lot of money. Isolate. Anyone else on the team get exposed to COVID? No, just Jesse Lingard dabbing, buying some new jeans down at Piccadilly, bro. That, like, come on.
Sir, who you got in your line? Who you got in your lineup?
You know it. I mean, come on. This is a perfect time for Jesse to fight for his spot. That's true. Just like, seems I'm watching the same. I'm watching the same movie always with these guys. Lineup. Given those injuries, sir. I'm going to say Dave Says world number one in net. Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Lindelof, Telles, Fred, McTominay, midfield two, Bruno at number 10, Rashford on the right, Cavani at number 9, Martial on the left, sir. That's how we're doing it.
So this is who I got. It's got to be Dave Says net. Who else? AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, Telles, McTominay, Fred, Bruno, Donny van de Beek, and then Rashford and Greenwood up front. So I'll play two tens. See how that works out.
What is that? 4-2-2-2?
I think they're playing like a 4-3-3. And maybe like Bruno and Donny switch, but I'll likely got that formation wrong and lineup wrong, so it doesn't even matter. But in my mind it's a 4-3-3, and they're taking it at the Saints, sir, in the South Coast. Sir,
so Fred plays in the middle of the park and then Bruno plays on the left?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
You don't have to overanalyze it, mate. It's just a lineup prediction.
Sir, I'll give you a D minus.
This guy, football expert, grew up in Jersey. Tell me more.
D minus, like, yeah, it should fit in a formation. You should have it. Sorry. You study for the test.
All right, professor, keep going. Booking the bookies. Southampton +280, the draw +240, and -105 for United. I mean, obviously, Southampton are not the favorites. United are the favorites, but draw. I couldn't blame you for betting the +240 on the draw, given 4 out of the last 5 matchups have ended that way.
Absolutely. And also, players to score, Bruno Fernandes +400, Cavani +400, and Martial +450. Rashford +500. I like that one. Donny van de Beek +1,000. Interesting stuff. Sir, you know, when it comes to the betting markets, I don't think you're going to win much money on this match. I think the risk is, like you said, probably the draw is the one. Although as a United fan, I can't admit that. Something tells me we're going to have to pray to the VAR gods a little extra this week because I think there's going to be some VAR drama. I don't know. It feels like a nervy game, drama, something happening in our favor, against us. I don't know.
It's going to be a nervy game. I mean, I think if you go back through all of our games in the league, there's been at least one big VAR call. Whether it goes for us or against us is another thing altogether, but it's going to be a nervy game. Sir, what do you have as your score prediction?
We're due for a big VAR against.
We are.
Yeah, like a robbery. Also, one note on the lineup, De Gea, Hendo, where's Hendo? He's nowhere to be found. Henderson coming in behind De Gea, that was a big move. De Gea looks the best he's been in a long time, sir. I mean, that really did the job. Apparently, Hendo might go out on loan. I don't know. If you need to pay Hendo 100 grand a week so De Gea, who you're paying almost 400 grand a week, plays well, then it's probably worth it, right?
I mean, you're already paying Grant, whatever he's getting paid. Best job in the world is Lee Grant, fourth string goalkeeper at Manchester United. I hear you. There, you know, it's the balance, right? It's like it's certainly the lit something under De Gea. This is like we're seeing vintage De Gea for sure. But what do you do with Dino? He's going to get some games, but he needs experience, right? He's young. You want him to get a lot of games. So I don't know. It's a tough one. Do you pull him out? Do you send him away? What if De Gea's form slips then?
No, but the thing is, your Hendo didn't start against Istanbul, right? You know, that was the game he could have got if he was going to get one. And obviously, he's not getting Southampton. He's not getting PSG. And then you go down the list. And
he's
you're
not
like,
any of those games. Play? Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, that's we shall point. See, sir. We got some news. In the news, Wayne Rooney reveals he was ready to leave Manchester United for Barcelona or Real Madrid. Surprise, surprise, your favorite player is a traitor, sir. He's a traitor. He wanted to leave Manchester United, the greatest club in the world. How dare he?
He didn't. he threatened to do it and ended up reneging 2 days later. Your favorite player actually did leave United. He plays for Juventus at the moment.
He's coming back.
Wayne Rooney will eventually come back, probably not as a player. But anyway, let's talk about these quotes. He actually did it for the official Manchester United podcast, not this one, not the American Red Devils, the best Manchester United podcast in the world. Quote, I think it was well documented that Chelsea Mourinho wanted to sign me. Rooney told United Podcast. Let's get to the meaty bits.
You gotta do it.
I can't do a Scouse voice.
Well documented that Mourinho wanted to sign me.
Anyway, I can't do it justice, sir. But here's the real juicy quote. I remember sitting down for one day and thinking, imagine playing in that Barcelona team, Messi, Xavi, Iniesta, Busquets. And at that time, Messi wasn't playing the way he plays now as a number nine, for instance. He was out wide. I was thinking I could have slotted in perfectly. I could have come in the ball as well and have players running it behind. Obviously, Rooney famously performed a drastic U-turn just 2 days after handing in his transfer request in 2011, signing a five-year contract after talks with Sir Alex and David Gill. So this was something they talked about a lot at the time. I mean, you point back at now, all the knowledge we know about the Glazers, you kind of get why he was wanting to leave. They weren't really spending money. City was spending big money. Aguero, they should have bought him, but like the Glazers wouldn't pony up the £35 million to do it. A lot of people gave him a lot of shit at the time, but you can understand the reasons why he was looking elsewhere. Looking around, at least.
Sir, look, Wayne Rooney, he got by the greatest manager of all time. I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson, he went public with the news. Everyone Shane Rooney, and he pretty much kind of caved and then signed the deal. I mean, Sir Alex played his hand perfectly. I do agree. United were selling. Future was uncertain. Could Sir Alex do it again? The long and the short of it is he broke Charlton's record, became the club's all-time leading scorer. I mean, that was on the docket for him, and then end up lifting some more trophies. So at the end of the day, it worked out pretty well for Wayne Rooney here. But I think there's always a bitter taste in his mouth because the way Sir Alex kind of went public with the transfer request and flipped everything on him. Look, I think Rooney's a player. I think, you know, he always had those antics we read about. I'm sure that's kind of why he fought Sir Alex a little bit. He would have done great at Barcelona in this era, whenever during this time, obviously. But, you know, I'm glad he stayed at United. I just still think there's a little bit of bad blood between him and Sir Alex.
There definitely is. There definitely is. Because, like, especially because whenever Fergie talks about the four world-class players he managed while at Manchester United, he does not mention Rooney. So I'm sure that irks him a little bit. And then I think when Rooney was asked about like favorite managers to work with, he did not mention, I think he mentioned LVG. So yeah, there's bad blood, bro.
Yeah. Well, look,
nobody prefers Van Gaal to Fergie.
2010. What was this? 2010.
Yeah. 2010, 2011.
Yeah, but we end up winning the title. He scores the goal. What is it? Was he scored the goal against City? And
that was like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, this is before the hair transplants. Bald Rooney hitting the. This was like some of the best Wayne Rooney we've ever seen. By the way, I mean like Sir Alex knew how to get the best out of them. I think in some way he didn't like that, but you know it was always trying to prove the manager wrong because Sir Alex always benched Rooney. Remember that? He'd always bench him, get him fired up, and then unleash the dragon.
He would, and I love watching that dragon be unleashed because there's nothing better than watching a pissed off Wayne Rooney come off the bench and start stopping fools. That whole city, bro, just like fight night. He's one of my favorite players of all time. Honestly, you know, my entryway into United in some ways, but dude, he's such a United player. I think the reason they didn't get along is maybe they're similar. They're just like cutthroat competitors, always want to win. And, you know, the fact that he gets put on the bench, it's going to irk someone. Not called world class is going to irk someone. So I get it. It is what it is.
Well, I think what we saw in this period of time was the player was almost bigger than the manager and bigger than the club, but they weren't quite yet. And what we did see was like Sir Alex put his thumb on Wayne Rooney. It was the last manager who had full control. Now, obviously, we talked about the director of football, you know, but like right now, Paul Pogba, you know, the control he has, Rooney didn't have at that time. And, you know, it probably was for the best. And right now, things are kind of upside down when it comes to man management in world football.
That's true. Maybe Ole picked up a thing or two from his previous manager, you know? Didn't know a thing about man management, that Sir Alex.
Absolutely. Next bit of news here. Coronavirus. Fans to be allowed in stadiums in England at the end of lockdown. Stadiums in Tier 1 zones will be permitted to hold up to 4,000 spectators, and grounds in Tier 2 zones can do 2,000 fans. Grounds in Tier 3 zones must continue to hold events behind closed doors, sir. Again, fans should be back soon. Apparently, they're going to ban chanting and booze.
Really?
Yeah. They're discussing no chanting and no booze.
That's absurd. Just have them wear a mask and then spread them out. I mean, depending on what stadium we're talking about, 4,000 people in Manchester, in Old Trafford, you know, there's plenty of space in between people. But at least this is a step in the right direction, right? Like, this is important as you're talking about you modeling out the financials and assuming when people are going to start coming back into seats. Obviously, this is later than we assumed, but this is hopefully the start of something. So we'll see what happens with it, right?
Apparently, there's a new system coming next month, but Manchester United is currently in Tier 3, so there won't be any fans at United. And what's kind of crazy is the implications financially for Manchester United is we talked about the financial model, all my assumptions. I said 25% would be back Jan 1, and it was pretty dire financially for Manchester United. We're talking 4,000 of 70,000, so it's even less than that. You can imagine it's less than 10%. It's almost 6%. Of capacity. United are basically going to make nothing. Then how do you decide who gets to go? That's another nightmare as it comes to season ticket holders, etc. So the financial problems for Manchester United right now, Manchester Tier 3, no fans, and the best case scenario, they can have 6% capacity. It's going to be really tough financially for United. It's going to be I'm kind of interested in how all these transfer rumors are going to go during January, and we're going to be linked to buying all these big players, and we have no money, and we're losing money at an insane clip with no fans coming back in sight. So that being said, vaccine, hoping the vaccine does some damage, and we see fans back next season.
Yeah, so if you paid attention over the summer, we didn't spend any money in the summer, we're not spending any money in January. We got Amad Diallo's joining, so that's at least exciting. But, you know, at least it's something. It's hope. So maybe like if you start with 4,000 in December, maybe you can get to 10,000 by, you know, a month later. So we will keep you posted. We will, you know, let you know how this progresses because we're going to be following every second of it.
Absolutely, sir. Next bit of news. United on brand. Manchester United lining up Everton transfer supremo Marcel Brands as director of football with contract up at the end of the season. Marcel Brands, director of football at Everton. He's obviously done a great job. Richarlison, you know, we know James, Rodriguez, sir, a few players. Maybe he botched it with Pickford. Everton's playing well. He did a good job there. And as usual, whenever things might not be looking good for United from a footballing perspective or because we're broke because of the Glazers, don't worry, we're getting a director of football, guys.
Just right on schedule. Now, I wasn't sure if there were legs in this. You know, he's at the end of his contract, so he might be fishing for another contract from Everton. And it's more likely just, you know, shame on me, sir. Round and round we go. I'm getting played like a fiddle by Neil Ashton right now, just listing the fact that we might be hiring a DOF. I doubt it.
I mean, when you're a public company, what you say should mean something. And, you know, the director of football rumors and everything is just a complete joke at United. Something that we obviously need. I don't know why when you have the investor calls and you have Deutsche Bank asking the question, why don't you have a director of football? You know, it's one of those things where not a lot of football teams are public. So as far as they're covered in research, maybe they're not that smart. But how could you be a $3 billion company, $2.6 billion to $3 billion company and not have a market-based organizational structure. It's unbelievable. Like, Ed Woodward, what do you know about footballers?
Nothing.
No, you don't. Nothing. You're absolutely not. Puppet. There was rumors he might leave. Ed Woodward, this is like various rags came out. And the reason why I say rags is they were kind of all like the bad papers. They said he might be leaving United. The counter to that is he has about 8 million in stock. So I don't know if he's going to be leaving because of all of it basically is Class A shares. The other thing is the reason he's fired is because of the shit financial position they're in and basically how they only have 58 million in cash. They're not going to have any fans back anytime soon. They're losing money and he's basically run this club into the ground. Like that is why he's going to get fired. It has nothing to do with the things on the pitch. It's got to do with the complete just ruining of the balance sheet, the debtors, everything going on at United. It's really a crisis, especially as you consider what they need to weather. They still need to weather a pretty good storm to see, you know, the days of old where you have 75,000 every week at Old Trafford. That's not going to be back for a few months, maybe a few quarters. So it's going to be tough times at United.
It is. It's going to be a long winter. You know, it's going to be a long winter for them, and it'd be interesting to see, because if you get rid of Woodward, if you don't get rid of the Glazers, then you ain't doing – nothing's changed, right? You just have a different henchman.
That – well, you know, there, I'm going to counter-argument that. A lot of people did say that online. If he goes, then the organizational structure is most likely to be changed where there would be a director of football, and then there would be somebody leading the commercial side. Then who sits on top of them is kind of the real question. I would hope that – Woodward leaving would be a changing of the guard, so to speak, and running the club in a different way. Obviously, the Glazers we need to get rid of, but having a director of football with the Glazers would probably be better than Ed Woodward plus the Glazers right now. Still not great, but it is an improvement, and hopefully we'll get the Glazers to sell sooner because United do better.
It would be an improvement, and, you know, because there's just so many like fumbles from Eddie that you'd have to imagine, even curtailed financially, directionally, by a family as disconnected as the Glazers and as greedy as the Glazers, it would certainly help, because it's just like keeping the cut, make sure the youth and academy players are renewing their contracts, getting appropriate, you know, like first team contracts, renewing like the Herreras of the world so they don't leave on freeze and all that stuff that like a normal football club is doing and we seem to, you know, not be able to do.
Igalo, Cavani, exactly. Any other old strikers, you know, any other old strikers we can pay to do nothing?
Demba Ba looks like he's ready to join.
Even Henderson's another one of those. I thought Hendo, that wasn't the move. I disagree with that one from Eddie. It did get the best out of Hayes. Who knows? We shall see, sir. Fan questions. Thank you for all the hot banner on Twitter. We try to get to everyone's questions here. At Burkett Mets. Quote, I think that starting 11 is a great pick to play against teams that we don't want to park the bus in the league. Donny is a good pick for that role in those matches. Creative, but energy on defense. I'm standing by Paul Pogba. I wish he worked as hard in the pivot as Fred, McTominay, and Donny. Don't we all? Don't we all wish Paul Pogba did? And I'm a huge fan of Paul Pogba. Sorry, I had the jersey. I gave it away. He started playing better. You know, but there's a video of Lampard talking about Paul Pogba, and he just said he makes too many mistakes in the 8, and then you got to play him at 10, and does he create enough in the 10? And so then where does he play? And I think Lampard, I hate Chelsea, is a video from a few years back, talks about he sees the mistakes that he makes on the park, and as a midfielder, Paul Pogba is more skilled than him, but positionally, you know, how many penalties has he given away? How many balls, like in our third of the pitches he given away led to goals. Like Lampard talked about, do you need to be doing skills in your half of the pitch? Like that's not what you need to do. Like you need to get the ball away. And those are the valid criticisms of Paul Pogba. And like I said, he's gonna go somewhere else. He's gonna win Champions Leagues. He's gonna do great. But at United, for some reason, it's not working out.
Never worked out. And we wish him the best. He could leave as early as January, sir.
I think there is, you know, X-Files music. We're going to get that on the pod. Paul, we beat Southampton, sir. We get streaky. We start playing always at the wheel. Pogba will slot right in and we'll look really good doing it. You know what I'm saying? So goes the team. He's like a passenger on the train. Like if this train is moving and we're playing well, Pogba will come in. He'll like, you know, he loves the vibes. He'll jump in, he'll play well, and we could kick on to something great. I really do think that. But Paul Pogba is not like Bruno in the way that he's going to drag us there.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, maybe. But like based on the performances everyone's putting out, Dan James, Cavani, I don't know if he has that work ethic to play on this team, dude. I just don't see it. Like maybe against the smaller teams where he can just pull the strings and doesn't have to work as hard defensively. But he's not more creative. He's not better than Bruno Fernandes, right? Like offensively. And if he has to do a lot of different jobs in the middle of the park, he's not as good as some of the players that we just mentioned. And McTominay defensively, work rate, Fred work rate, you know, and Donny going forward and back. So it's hard, sir. I mean, also, he doesn't want to be here anymore. So it's like, we all love Manchester United. We don't want to have to, like, convince someone that they should want to play for us while they're getting paid $25 million a year. So it's hard for United fans because, like, a lot of us, we all really want Paul Pogba to do really great for this club, but it's very clear that it's not going to work out. And it's just like, it's all about moving on now at this point. It's over, dude. It's over. There's no way. It's over. It's over. The ship has sailed, man. It has.
There's a chance. Just wait for the blue hair, sir. At IC1 on Twitter, quote, really good win. Lads played 75 minutes of great football, but had about 15 minutes of poor play that led to that goal. Really happy with how we played. Very happy for Dan James to get his goal. Absolutely love that. At United Dondo, quote, Donny and Bruno need to start against weaker sides together. Ole needs to improve with his subs. Why don't we play with intensity all match, sir? Great tweet. A lot of people saying Donny and Bruno against lower opposition sides.
Yeah, and maybe Donny is like the upgrade for Mata. You know, you pairing these two creative players together. Obviously, I think we all know how good Mata can be, and his passing is awesome. But like Donny's a different type of player because he's quicker, you know, higher work rate, can play all over the pitch. He's bigger, better in the air. So that could be a total upgrade. I love the fact that, you know, creative players combining off of each other. Sky's the limit, sir.
At JDW300, quote, have to quit this first and second half switches. Bad first, good second, good first, bad second. I love the wings of Rashi and Anthony Martial. Very dangerous, and Cavani will settle in. If not, put Greenwood at the tip of the spear. Let him bang a few. We are looking better slowly but surely. I do agree with Josh there on that tweet.
No, slowly but sure. I liked Cavani up front. I thought both Martial and Rashford looked good on the wing. And, you know, Cavani didn't have a lot of clear-cut chances, but his work rate was good. His intensity was good. I mean, his link-up was not bad.
I think the Istanbul keeper beat him to that ball, though.
He did. He should have had a goal. Martial should have had a goal. Rashford should have had a bunch of goals. You know, everyone should have scored more goals.
Cavani had a game, a really good game. I will say his work rate off the ball, everything is great. I actually think him in the United shirt, he might not be like Bruno, but he's going to work hard all game. But he was beaten for pace by the Istanbul keeper. That was funny. That was funny.
Keeper's pretty fat. I was shocked how quick that keeper is, but you're right. Cavani's not slow. I mean, he's not slow.
I didn't get the right angle, but I think he kind of hesitated to run for it. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like a Dan James or Rashford, they would have that. Yeah.
Speedsters.
So those legs, they go. I feel it.
34, bro. He's in better shape than us.
At Blickstro on Twitter, quote, a tale of two halves. Overall, good performance. Great first half, but dropped off in the second. Need to be more consistent. The quality after Bruno and Rashford went off was apparent. Cavani and Van de Beek need to be in the starting 11. Rashford on the right cutting in looks good. Bruno, sir. I mean, everyone's saying tale of two halves. I think there's some good points here. The quality after Rashford and Bruno went off, what do you make of that? I thought it was maybe too many subs.
Yeah, that often happens. I think as soon as Matic came in, it kind of shored things up a little bit. You know, I wasn't sure I liked the subs, but it felt like there was no direction and the team just felt a little off. There was a let off, and that's the problem with this team is we're inconsistent and we tend to like check out sometimes of games. And I think if we can get consistent, you know, then we're going to get exciting because that is the difference. That's teams that go on and win things have to be consistent week in, week out. And they need players that are going to show up and be consistent and put in consistent performances week in, week out, like Bruno Fernandes has.
At Michael Magellis, quote, we're all thrilled to see that lineup today, but can that work as our go-to 11 in the Premier League, or is that too aggressive?
No, I think depending on who you're playing. So, like, if you're going against Liverpool, I probably wouldn't play that 11. But Southampton, I think that 11 has enough to just go in there, turn the screws, and go for a win. You're going for a result. You're going to score goals. And maybe, you know, if it's good enough, maybe it ends up being the 11 against Liverpool or City, you know. But it starts with going down to Southampton and getting a big result. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, and I would agree that there's two major changes to that lineup was the Martial and Rashford on the wing and then having Cavani up through the middle. Now, you know, we could play that same front three with Greenwood through the middle, right? You could put Rashford through the middle. You could put Martial through the middle. So I do like putting up, like, your attackers. We need to be kind of like – to me, that's more of an all-in move. Like, the Mata in the league on the right is like, you know. We need to be kind of coming a little more. I like that part of it. The Donny van de Beek TBD, right? You know, I think that's probably the too aggressive move right now. I think you got to start with Fred and McTominay. And if you can't create, then you bring in a Donny as a sub in that position. I think that might work a little better. At I noted all, quote, I love Paul Pogba, but I think it's time for him to go. Sell him to Madrid in the summer for $80 million and use that money as the first installment for Jadon Sancho. What do you make?
Yeah, I just said it earlier. I think it might happen sooner than then. It might be a player swap in January, but certainly inevitable. Paul Pogba is on the way out, so wish him well.
At Jamal Mota, quote, great game, but can we talk about that color block Adidas red and black hoodie MBE Rashi was sporting post game? I know you two don't like to buy official merch, but that was fuego. Moral of the story is I can't find it online to buy, so Woodward failed again. Hashtag Glazers out. Look, I don't buy anything from ManUnited.com anymore, sir, but the one thing they have failed at is the players get all the sick gear, and when you go to buy it online, it's just completely terrible. Like, you got those with Adidas, like, warm-up pants. Like, those pants aren't worn by Marcus Rashford, by the way. You know,
no, it's like saggy bottom boys, as I call them? No, they're not. they have, like, awesome training gear that the players get to wear, and then this website is, like, absolute junk. Like, the stuff they sell to fans is hilarious. So don't buy it. Don't spend any money there.
No, spend your money at www.americadevils.com. Sir, that is the fan question segment. Quick update, fantasy EPL watch. That's right. We have our fantasy league. We have over 100 players in it. Joe Bosley is in first place, and his team name is Every Loser Wins Equals Me. I like that little kind of trickeration on the name. A little update on kind of where we stand. John is in 15th place. I'm fighting for the top, sir. I want to win that Tony Martial autograph photo. Alex is in 81st. So if you ever doubt our footballing knowledge here on the lineups or anything, just look at the fantasy standings.
Yeah, there you go. It's all decided in fantasy.
Sir, you're 81st. Let's start at like 120.
There you go. Well, what can I say, sir? You're doing better in fantasy at the moment.
Little banter here. Any comments? Any comments?
No. I got Maguire in my back line. I got Rashford and Bruno. Bruno's my captain for a long time. The big thing is I've had United players for so long. That's why I've sucked, because United's been like pretty inconsistent in the league to start with. So once they start turning on, I think I'm gonna start climbing that table, mate.
Yeah, once Harry starts heading in those goals.
Which he's going to. That's why I picked it, because I think he's starting to play very well at the moment. Like, he looks in good form, so he should be scoring soon.
Sir, I'm rocking Bruno as well. You know, that's like the only thing you got to do. I mean, what other United players do I have? It's just Bruno. That's it. That's why I'm probably higher on the table than you.
There you go.
All right. That's been the podcast. Alex is a little salty about his fantasy team. Doesn't want me calling him out about it.
Well, this guy's in 15th and, like, talking big game like he's won the title. Like, he's like, like, he's having a run at the top, bro. Call me in a month. Having a run. It's like November, mate. It's like 9 Thanksgiving. All right. Tough downloads. You want to rub in your freaking 15th place?
I'll tell you.
Enjoy it. The wife's poking her head in. This guy's like rubbing the salt in on his fantasy league.
Sir, I always try to get you a little salty at every pot. 81st is definitely relegation. I'm competing for European football. So,
yeah, you're in Europa League, mate. Congratulations.
We can end on that note. Look, America Riddell is for fans by fans. We try to get you a pod after every single match. We did this one virtually. Thank you for putting up with the audio. Ideally, like to do in the bunker, but because of the crazy schedule, we'll just be getting pods out after every match. We'll do a few virtual. If you like to support the podcast, There's no sponsors. It's completely fan supported. That's how we want to keep it, so we can have authentic perspectives here. We can laugh at Ed Woodward and the lot. If you want to do that, support us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Go to www.AmericaRedDevils. Click on store. We have some merch there. Drop a review on iTunes. Check out the blog, sir. And we had some great downloads last 7 days. Give us our top 10 cities.
Sir, it is a freedom forward list. Ooh, but we got Oslo at the end. I love that. So starting up top to bottom, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Roswell, Georgia. Number two, Lee's Summit, Missouri. Morganville, Jersey. Waco, Texas. Charlotte, North Carolina. Union, Missouri. Chicago, Illinois. Hotlanta, Georgia. Houston, Texas. And last but not least, Oslo, Norway. Appreciate all the downloads. Appreciate all the America Red Devils listening week in, week out around the world. Hope all the Yanks out there enjoy their Thanksgiving on Thursday. And then we kick on, sir. South Coast battling the Saints for a big 3 points.
6 a.m. wake up call, sir. Better work on that fantasy team. This guy getting relegated this season, as always.
We kicking a blue.